Hi, I'm Eric, also known as Trekkie V47, from the Ranger Command Power Hour and the Starfleet Escape Podcast. You're listening to another great Four-Eyed Radio product. For more shows, check out foureyedradio.com. It's Morphin' Time!
Hey listeners, heads up, just so you know, as I've been relaunching Victory Road, I've been banking episodes. So the episode you're about to hear was recorded about a couple weeks ago, but I'm sure you are also aware that a new game called Pokemon Unite just came out. I didn't want to wait a month to talk about it. I did get together with my friend Tommy to talk about it. That'll be here at the end of the episode. I'll put a timestamp in the description, so if you came here for that, you can look up exactly where that discussion starts. But in the meantime, enjoy some chatter about Pokemon and Smash Bros. Welcome to episode 78 of Victory Road, a Pokemon podcast. It's time for another adventure in the world of Pokemon. I'm your host, Doug, and I'm Team Lucario, because today we're talking all things Pokemon in a little fighting game you've probably never heard of, called Super Smash Brothers. Of course, Victory Road is a production of the Four-Eyed Radio Network and is brought to you by Revenge Lover Designs, illustration and design to fit your personality. For samples and inquiries, visit revengelover.com. And as always, please subscribe and rate this podcast wherever you're listening. Those ratings and reviews make Victory Road more visible and much easier to find. Today, I am joined by a special guest. You've heard him before. He's a great friend of mine and a former college roommate. It's Zach. Zach, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Yes. Like I said, we're talking about Smash Brothers, and I think I told you this. You were the first person I thought of, because my Smash Brothers journey didn't necessarily start in college, but it certainly took off in college. And you were a big part of that. So I was like, if I'm talking Smash Brothers, this is who I'm reaching out to first.
Well, I'm glad you associate me so strongly with Smash Brothers. I do love Smash. Yes.
I know. It's so good. It's so good. But since it's been a while since we've talked to you, I think we should catch up a little bit. So I guess, like, just generally speaking, what type of Pokemon stuff have you gotten into since we talked to you last? Which, to be honest, has been like probably over a year. So anywhere you really want to go, what Pokemon stuff is notable?
I think the only real thing I got into with Pokemon was I played through Pokemon Shield.
Yeah.
And I think that's literally it. I have not.
That's fine.
I played and beat the game. I loved it. I never did the DLC, although it's on my list to play through, and I did buy Pokemon Snap, but have not played it yet, so.
Did you play the original Pokemon Snap on N64?
Yes, I did. I loved it.
So when you saw that they were doing another one, were you, like, hype or nervous, or, like, what were your, I guess, where did you fall on the spectrum of, like, reactions to new Pokemon Snap?
I was really excited. It was something I've kind of wanted forever. I still think it would have been perfect for the Wii U with the gamepad thing, but at the same time, I'm kind of glad it never just, it's out on Switch and not anything else.
Zach, you and I have very, very similar feelings on this. I'm sure you and I have had conversations about this.
We probably have.
I find it absolutely criminal. Like, Nintendo and the Pokemon Company should be prosecuted for not launching the Wii U with Pokemon Snap. Dumbest thing they ever didn't do. Yeah. It blows my mind, and I will never get over it ever in my entire life.
I feel like it kind of, like, the new Pokemon Snap game was probably, it probably came about organically, because it's the same developer as Pokken Tournament, right?
I think. Oh, I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised.
So I think I remember reading, I think it was some interview with developers or something, or Nintendo employees or something, saying that the reason new Pokemon Snap came into being in the first place is because they liked what was happening in the background and stuff in the world building they had in Pokken Tournament, which is pretty interesting, I think.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So they were like, wow, we found this developer that can kind of do it justice And then they greenlit the project is basically how I remember reading.
I mean, I'm glad it came from an organic place. It's just wild that there wasn't multiple people seeing the sort of like tech demos and like the sort of marketed capabilities of the Wii U who didn't all simultaneously say, it's time.
Right, right.
But I have played most of Pokemon Snap. I do really enjoy it. I'm excited for you to finally play it because I do think it's really fun. Very, or I should say like quite faithful to the original as far as like look and feel and stuff. Well, not look, obviously it looks way, way better. But like generally, the general feel is very faithful. My hope is that we will get another one not 20 years down the road that sort of builds on the foundation this one is set up. But I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Maybe DLC even.
Oh, I mean, that would be my ideal situation, which I'm sure some people would roll their eyes at or grumble at. My ideal situation is that we would get DLC just in the coming years that sort of expands the life and expands the world. Because I think there are really cool things they could do that maybe they don't want to commit to a full game for.
Yeah.
Either like throwback or homage or like specific regions of the world or things like that you could sort of sell as a expansion that would make a lot of sense in that context.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. I didn't even think of like throwback levels.
Yeah, that's I think that would be amazing. And people would absolutely pay for that.
My favorite one is the one with the in the original game was the one with the like the slowpoke, like the one where
you have to like get it to dip its tail, right? So it'll evolve.
Yes.
I know some things. I didn't have an N64, but I did play a decent amount of Snap at friends' houses. So I remember like key moments, and I do remember that one.
that level, whatever level that was called. I don't remember the names of those at all.
Yeah.
But I'm just picturing like it was like a jungle setting. So that'd be cool.
Nice.
I'd like to go revisit that. But also I haven't seen the new one, so maybe something blows it out of the water. So.
Well, I can't wait to get your thoughts on that. I also would love to know, are you planning or have you decided on whether or not you're going to get the Diamond and Pearl remakes or one of the Diamond and Pearl remakes?
Yes, I have decided.
Oh, with such conviction.
And yes, I'm getting it. Of course. I love Diamond and Pearl. The same way you associate Smash Brothers with me, I associate Diamond and Pearl particularly with those two games with you. We played through those together in college. And I love the way they're doing the remake. I know it's kind of controversial and people are like, oh, it should have been more like Sword and Shield, but I think the faithful recreation, just like, but updating it is, I like that direction. I think it's the way to go for these, at least.
Yeah, there's certainly a conversation, given the way that they've done sort of remakes in the past. This is the first one where they've really sort of said, like, no, this is faithful. This isn't like a new adventure in the same region with you know, similar characters or whatever.
Yeah.
They've called it faithful. I mean, you and I already differ on Diamond and Pearl just generally because, like, it's one of my least favorite generations, although I have very fond memories of it because we played it together. But it's one of my least favorite generations. It's the one that I was, like, least sort of enamored by because I think my expectations were too high with it coming to a new console and all that sort of stuff. And the way that they did the Pokedex wasn't my fave. But I've talked plenty about that. In this case, I was really looking forward to a Diamond and Pearl remake because I wanted to sort of get a fresh set of eyes on the region. So I wasn't thrilled that they were doing a sort of faithful remake, but it might actually be the right way for me to revisit it because it'll be a fresh set of eyes on sort of the same thing, as opposed to just like going back and replaying. I am replaying Pearl right now and it hasn't fully captured me. So maybe this will do a better job at that.
Yeah. I do kind of hope, you know, there's definitely some flaws they can make better in the remakes. I'm thinking of the one fire type that you're able to get.
Well, that's the thing that's like a little concerning about like faithful remake is like,
yeah,
well, but could you maybe add a couple fire? Everyone will be okay with it. Yeah. Everyone will be totally fine if the only thing you change is adding some fire types.
Yeah.
Didn't they, I don't know the answer to this, so maybe, I don't know if you'll know the answer to this. Someone will, and we'll be yelling at home, but like, didn't they add some for Platinum? Didn't they sort of address that with Platinum?
Oh, I did not play Platinum.
I haven't yet either.
Yeah. I know people like that a lot. Like, more than Diamond and Pearl, for sure, it seems.
Yeah. My hope is that the Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl games will actually be sort of like a remake of the three of them, you know? Like, I'm hoping that a lot of that Platinum stuff that I hear people really loved is part of what this remake is. So if that means more fire type through that vehicle, like, yes, please.
Yeah, I think that's probably what they'll end up doing.
And then are you paying attention? I mean, we haven't gotten tons of materials, but did you see the Pokemon Legends Arceus stuff?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that? I don't know how much there is to think about, but I'm sure you've thought about it.
it's interesting because aren't they calling it like a mainline game?
I don't really know.
I can't decide if what they're doing is like an experiment and it's like going to be separate from like the regular mainline series, or if like this is it going forward, this is what they want to do. I don't know. And so it's like very hard to for me to like get a read on where this fits in the whole thing.
I think there are a couple things that point to it not necessarily being like their all-in direction on the core series. I mean, the fact that it's being released months, not a year, not years, but months after the Diamond and Pearl remakes, I think is certainly a notable choice. The fact that it's not releasing for the holidays is also a notable choice. But I will say that if this is something they're experimenting with because they think it's a direction they could go in, I'm actually very for it. Because as we sort of like continue to move forward with Pokemon, as we approach 1,000 Pokemon species, mm-hmm. I do think at some point the Pokemon Company will want to, and I think maybe should, reevaluate sort of the structure for what a new generation is. I don't know that we need to like advance in perpetuity the model that is like introduce 80 new Pokemon every 3 to 4 years, a new region, all that sort of stuff. I think at some point we can shift towards, we have a region, we have a world, we have our characters, let's tell new stories in new ways in the regions that we have, using what we've got, and introduce notable new things with purpose, you know, as opposed to through obligation. So if the next generation were, hey, we're telling this story with, you know, we're telling a historical story in Johto, and we have beefed up our Pokedex with what we've got, and we've introduced new characters because we think they're cool and compelling, and that's the direction they want to go, I'm fine with that. Because I think there's, I don't know how, like, at what point is the every generation is dozens new Pokemon, new region, more gym leaders. Like, yeah. At what point is that sort of like, okay, like, we've got a lot here, like, use what you've got. You've got plenty to work with. I don't know. I'm not really sure. But I'd be fine with it if this was an experiment to see what they could do moving forward with the world they've got. I think Journeys, the anime, is something that sort of is doing that with the TV show, right? Like, they're basically just telling stories in the world they have already, but in new ways. I think Legends Arceus is a thing that could be pointing to that as well. I think Sun and Moon was something that clearly wanted to shake up the sort of status quo. And so it feels like maybe they're dipping their toes into things and trying to figure it out. And I hope if that's the direction they want to go in, that it's an inspiring one and it's coming from a place of wanting to do innovative things.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way. Doubling down on what they've already created rather than always trying to make something new.
I mean, like, if we end up with 2,000 Pokemon, we end up with 2,000 Pokemon. But I think as I've gotten older and played more games, and as we approach the 1,000 Pokemon mark, I just don't know if that's what I want anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But I can't wait to see what this is, because I do think it might offer some clarity. Because they have said, like, it is like an RPG. Like, it is a standard format RPG in the Pokemon universe. So, I don't think we're expecting, like, format changes.
What I could see them doing is using this as, like, I could see them using this as a way to kind of make a game, test it out, see how people react, see how, like, what they're capable of, and then kind of taking their lessons learned and applying it to the next true generation. Mm-hmm. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if, like, what comes after Sword and Shield, like, the next two version game is more like Arceus than in Sword and Shield, you know?
Sure, yeah. Well, I think Sword and Shield indicate some of the things they probably wish they could do, but
yeah,
I think their production cycle is bad.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I want them to have the room to play that it seems very clear they want to play with.
Yeah, but I am excited for it. Like, open world Pokemon sounds awesome.
Right? I'm really excited to see what they do.
I've always wanted
to take advantage of that.
Literally throw the Pokeball. So that's kind of something that's cool, I think.
Yeah.
Like aiming. Because yeah. I've always like, you know, in real life, it would actually be real hard to, I mean, it would be hard to catch a Pokeball just, or catch a Pokemon just by throwing a Pokeball.
Yeah.
You have
real.
To hit it.
Like only professional baseball players actually catch Pokemon, basically. You know?
Yeah.
Like, how are the rest of us supposed to cope?
Well, you make them pass out.
Yeah. Yeah, you just beat the crap out of them and then bop them on the nose with your Pokeball.
Yeah. That's what, okay, so I'm thinking of that scene from the Detective Pikachu movie when he catches that Cubone at the very beginning.
Yep.
I was like, that would have been so hard to do.
Seriously, yeah. I think technical moves would be so much more important in real life because, like, you would need your sleep powders and your, you know, paralysis-inducing like moves so much more than just, like, I'm going to beat you up and expect you not to run away.
Yeah.
Stealth mode activate. Yeah.
This will throw it and hope for the best.
Well, is there any other news about anything Pokemon related that you have sort of, you know, perked up at recently or whenever, really?
I don't really even know what else is going on in Pokemon world, to be honest. I've never gotten into the Pokemon Go thing. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
I've tried multiple times and I'll get into it for a while. But so nothing to report there. Yeah, I'm pretty much always just tuned into what the video games are.
Yeah.
Although you mentioned Pokemon Journeys, the mm-hmm. anime, like I do want to check that out because it looks interesting and different.
I would highly recommend it. I would very highly recommend it, actually.
So do you? Okay. How question?
Yeah.
Do you think I should watch the Sun and Moon series before that one, or
no?
No. Okay.
I think Pokemon Journeys is as close as they have ever gotten to basically saying, "Let's make a different show." Like, we've been stuck with Ash for 20 years. Let's do something else. They don't get rid of Ash, but that's what Pokemon Journeys feels like. It feels like they ended the anime and started a new anime.
Interesting.
It's not as clean as that, but it feels like that the vast majority of the time.
Even more so than Sun and Moon.
Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting.
And Sun and Moon is good. Like, I'm not saying don't watch Sun and Moon. Sun and Moon was sort of like the half step in that direction because Sun and Moon did sort of like start at this weird point of like, oh, Ash is going to school. And it's like, excuse me? But this, I mean, when Kyle and I were talking about the first batch of Journeys episodes, one of the things that we talked about a lot was, is this a reboot? Is that what they're doing? Like, is this an alternate telling of Ash's story? And for, I would say, quite some time, the series allows you to think that. And if you just take out some key moments, it would be pretty much entirely independent from everything we've seen prior.
Okay.
Like, they tread very carefully to not too frequently directly reference anything that's happened in the past 20 years of Ash's 10-year-old life.
Very, very interesting. Okay, yeah, I'll definitely check it out. Hopefully it's on the Pokemon TV app or something. I don't know where to watch it, but I'll find it.
I think some of it's on Pokemon TV. Netflix is the current distribution rights holder, so that's sort of the main place I think the majority of folks have watched it. But yeah,
did not know that. I'll check it out.
Well, let's shift into the sort of main topic of this episode. The reason we're here today. this is actually an episode that Kyle and I wanted to do for a while, but just hadn't sort of like. Figured out exactly when to do it or how to do it or whatever. So when I was sort of planning out what kind of episodes to do in the sort of new era, second generation of Victory Road, this was like pretty much at the top of my list. So I want to talk about Smash Brothers because Smash Brothers brings together so many different Nintendo franchises. And Pokemon is one of the most represented franchises in the game. So it seems like a natural fit to talk about their place in there and to just talk about it as kind of almost a spinoff of Pokemon as much as it is a spinoff of you know, Super Mario or whatever, just because the representation's so high. So we're talking Smash Brothers, baby. The most recent one is Smash Brothers Ultimate, so that's like a lot of where the conversation probably is in context. But I am curious to know what your sort of general history with Smash Brothers is. Did you have the first one? Have you had them all? When did you jump in? What's your Smash Bros. Origin story?
My Smash Brothers origin story does begin with the original one for Super or Nintendo 64. I remember I rented it a lot from Blockbuster before ultimately buying it.
Yes. Yes, millennials.
So that was, yeah, I loved it. It was, I played it a lot with my neighbor and my sister and whoever I could play it with, I guess.
Yeah.
Gosh, and then Melee, when Melee came out, I got the GameCube at launch, and Melee, if I remember correctly, came out like a month or two after the GameCube release.
Oh, nice. So, launch window.
Yeah, so I got that, played that to death throughout all of high school. like, so much Melee. And then Brawl came out, which you were a part of this.
Yes.
On Wii. That came out.
This is where I enter the scene.
Yeah. Yes. Joins the battle. Doug joins the battle.
Everyone's here.
Do you remember when it was like the snowstorm that happened when that game released?
No, I don't. Please remind me.
It was like, yeah, we couldn't get it on actual release day because it had snowed like, I don't know, like 2 feet.
Oh my gosh. It was like, I'm like trying to put the pieces together because like my strongest Wii memory in this context is us being fully convinced we needed to be there overnight in order to pre-order a Wii and then being the literal only people there overnight. And then somebody just like walking up like an hour before the store opened and being like, were you here all night? That's like my strong Wii, like college Wii memory. But I don't remember the snowstorm. I guess that would have been a couple years later. The next year, I think within a year, right?
Yeah. A couple years later, I think. I remember I was living in, Manchester Hall for anyone familiar with Kent State University. and like we couldn't go and get it the day it released. I think we had to wait till the next day. So that was my Brawl story. I played Brawl. It was like, so Melee was high school. Brawl was college. And then Smash 4, which is, I just call it Smash 4, came out.
Yeah.
I remember I was living in Pennsylvania by myself. I didn't really play that game. I played it online a lot, but I never really played that one with others in the same room pretty much at all. So played that a lot online. I remember I did a lot of one-on-one battles online, and then Ultimate came out. Ultimate was, I mean, it's definitely my favorite.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like like the whole like cycle leading up to it, the marketing, and it was just like, I don't know how they managed to make me more excited for Smash Brothers, but they did, and then they delivered beyond all my expectations so far. And I've been playing that one a lot online and with other people. So I got back to other people.
Yes. The best way to play, in my opinion.
Right. And then I want to say I was playing that game pretty regularly with others online and offline up until the pandemic. And then that kind of...
No more.
And so I've been keeping up to date with it. I have not had as much time with the second set of DLC characters as I had the first one. And that's where I'm at right now.
That brings us to today.
Yeah. I have not even played with Kazuya yet, who's at the time of this recording is the newest character in Smash Brothers. So that's where I'm at.
I haven't either. Is he actually released?
Yeah, he came out June 29th.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Oops.
Yeah.
Yeah, my origin story is probably sort of predictable and ties into yours a little bit, as we sort of mentioned. But because I didn't have an N64 and actually didn't have Nintendo consoles really outside of handhelds, my original Smash Brothers experience was playing at friends' houses. The bulk of what I played Melee-wise was at a house for like where I babysat some kids. And then the beginning of college, like that freshman year of college, there was a lot of Smash Brothers Melee happening in my dorm specifically. Like my room seemed to be a hub for that. And then Brawl was the first one that was like that I owned, that I played a lot of. Brawl is probably still the Smash Brothers game that I have poured the most amount of time in, even compared to Ultimate, just because it was one that I could play in person. It was the first one I was able to unlock things for myself on. Smash 4, kind of similarly to you, is probably the one I played the least, even in comparison to the original, which I didn't even own. but I could be underselling it because I do have it for both consoles. I had it for 3DS and for Wii U, so I'm sure combined I played it plenty. But Ultimate is... I mean, it's in the title, you know, it's incredible. It's so good. I was so excited for it. And I just love it. Similarly to you, I haven't really explored a lot of the second wave of DLC. There are two that I've played a little bit more of, two that I've never really played, and one that I sort of dabbled with, but wasn't immediately gripped by. So that's kind of where I'm at. The DLC is actually part of the reason that this conversation regarding Pokemon is even a thing, because the DLC pack sort of like opened this world of like, okay, well they could kind of add characters whenever they want, as long as the game, like the life of the game, is still sort of active. We saw that a little bit with Smash Brothers 4, but I mean, full DLC packs is being handled differently with Ultimate. But notably, zero Pokemon fighters, because they've really focused on bringing characters from other franchises in these DLC packs. Now, the current DLC pack has like one slot left open. I personally would be floored and would fall out of my chair if it were a Pokemon. But what do you think?
Are floored in a good way or in a bad way?
I would just be floored in general, because I think there is a 0% chance that last spot is occupied by a Pokemon.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the list of all the new characters, and every single one of them has been from a new franchise to Smash Brothers, except Pyra and Mithra, Shulk being in the same franchise, I guess.
Isn't Byleth from Fire Emblem?
Oh yeah, Byleth too. I didn't even think
But still, that means only one of each pack has been from a game already represented.
Yeah. I personally don't think it will be a Pokemon. And I would also be very surprised if it were. I think it'll be something entirely new that we're not expecting.
Yeah, I think the fact that it's the last one is really important. Like, I think it's either going to be something totally new to the series, or it's going to be something that feels like there's sort of an of course factor to it, but it still ends up being exciting. There's not much that falls into that category. This is really bizarre, but I could actually see the last slot being like Waluigi or something like that, where it's like, okay, here you go, finally, last one. And It's the type of thing that like people might not necessarily be a lot of individuals' favorite choice, but as a collective, it would make a lot of sense. And I think everybody would sort of be like, that's fun. Okay, I see what you did there. Like, bravo. You know what I mean? It could be something like that. But I'm sure it's going to be something entirely new. I don't even have guesses, but the fact that it's the last takes a lot off the table for me. I was really hoping that Crash would be in one of these waves. I don't think he's going to be anymore, because I can't imagine him occupying this last spot.
I kind of wanted Crash to be in here too. They keep saying no, but I still have a slight bit of hope that they'll announce this last character and they'll be like, surprise, we have two more. That would be cool. Just like, I actually, like, if they could just do, my dream would be DLC pack 3 and just have three characters. I think that'd be cool.
I think the best way, or the best hope for them adding characters in franchises that are already represented, is to do something like that. It would be the perfect way for them to be like, three more characters and they're sort of familiar friends. I don't know if that necessarily like serves the purpose that you're hoping for, because there's so many characters that people have been clamoring for left out.
But, yeah, right.
I could see that being a good way for them to do it. Like if they were to add a Pokemon, if they were to add Waluigi, if they were to add, you know, another Street Fighter character or something like that, a DLC 3, I think would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Do you think it could be Sora? Do you think Sora would would meet people's expectations as a last character?
No, because the only rule, like everyone talks about, for characters to get into Smash Brothers, there are no rules, but there is one rule, and that is like they have to be from a video game. And I know Sora is, but Sora is also so closely associated with Disney. And
yeah.
I 100% don't see any Disney characters making it into Smash Brothers. It would A, be, I think, a little weird. Also B, probably not possible. And you can't have Sora without Disney, I don't think. So that's why I don't think Sora will be in it.
Yeah. I think I don't think Sora will be in it, but I think that's one of the few characters I could see actually sort of like rising to that expectation of like, this is the last one we're announcing, period, end of story. But yeah, I don't think it's necessarily going to happen. Do you have thoughts on it? I know we're going to get into more Pokemon related stuff, but I'm curious if you have theories.
I don't know. Like, it depends on if they want to go out with a bang. I would say something that would like blow most people's minds would be something like Master Chief or something, you know? And honestly, like that or Crash, I think would fit the oh, this is like the crazy one no one would expected. Bill? Yeah. Fit the Bill.
Oh. Fit the Bill. I was like, who's Bill?
Sorry.
It's like, what game am I not thinking of?
No. Like, I think those two characters would fit the bill to go out with a bang.
Yeah. We have a character named Steve. It wouldn't be that weird if there was a character named Bill. Bill, Steve, and Terry.
Yeah. So yeah, that would be cool. But other than that, I can't even think of like who else they would have. Anything else I think would be kind of like a whimper, to be honest. Well, I mean, like, I'm trying to think, like, I think any Nintendo character would be disappointing, even Waluigi.
Really? I think Waluigi is the only Nintendo character that would make sense for them to use in this spot.
I think that's just like, another example of like an internet joke become real, you know?
I think so, but I don't think that necessarily precludes him from eventually being a fighter. I mean, the fact that he hasn't been added yet, I think, is actually the biggest reason for why I shouldn't expect him here, but
yeah,
I could see it being a silly, fun thing that they embrace.
Yeah, and if they do want to embrace like the silly, fun aspect of that, I could see it. But I would say like Toad, like, or Captain Toad would be like a better choice for a Nintendo character, just for the history there. I mean, Waluigi's only ever been in multiplayer games and stuff, and it, you know.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think Toad makes way more sense and probably should have been in the game, you know, a while ago. But I would be surprised as like a grand finale. Like, yes, if Waluigi were the grand finale, it would be sort of meme-y, but I guess that's probably why it makes more sense to me than somebody that makes more sense, if that makes any sense. But I agree with you. It's probably not a Nintendo character. It's almost certainly not a Mario character.
So who do you think it might be?
I don't know. I'm expecting it to be somebody I don't even necessarily know, to be honest. Like, yeah. There are quite a few of these DLC characters that I wouldn't have necessarily... Well, not that I don't recognize them. I know Kazuya. I know Sephiroth. I know of Terry. But, like, I wouldn't have known Byleth or Pyra and Mirtha, like, at all. So I kind of was expecting it to be... Or I am expecting it to be something like that, where it's, like, a big character that is just, like, not on my personal radar, you know? That seems to sort of, like, fit the pattern, I think. I will say, I will be happy for a lot of people if it's Master Chief. I personally will not care. I've never played a Halo game other than to be really horrible at them. So it won't mean anything to me, but I will be happy for the people who are really, really hoping for it. As I hope they would be happy for me if it ends up being Crash.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I just thought of a character I personally want. I would love Phoenix Wright. Like, I would... I would explode in excitement.
That would be great. That would actually be a really fantastic choice, because I would have loved to see Phoenix before this point, you know?
Yeah.
I think that would have been great.
Gosh, and you know what? Now I'm thinking about it, the great Ace Attorney.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't know for listeners that aren't aware, that's the 3DS game. It's actually two games that never came out in the West, and they're releasing it on, I think, a Switch and PS4, probably PC as well. And it's like a totally HD version of it. And it takes place in like the past, like way in the past. Like, I don't want to say like feudal Japan or something, but like, like that era, like in Japan and in Britain, it's like, it takes place in those countries and you're like a distant relative of Phoenix Wright. So that coupled with, there are, I think a lot of rumblings about the next mainline game coming out soon. Ooh. So if they wanted to kind of like use Phoenix as like a promotional thing for that game, he could be in here, because a lot of these DLC characters have been promotional. Hero, Joker, Byleth,
Sephiroth, I would argue falls into that category.
Yeah, and Pyra and Mithra, I think, are the main ones that are like advertising based as well as fun choices. But so that's a possibility. Sorry, I was just like, that was my fan.
No, I think that's inspired. Dream. I think it would have been inspired at any point, but I think it makes a lot of sense in this slot too. So I would not be mad to see it. I would be very excited to play him, because I think it would be a fun character, given they'd have to sort of create a moveset based on something very different than a standard moveset.
Yeah.
You know?
Which has been a theme for each of these DLC characters. They all play so differently.
Yeah, for sure.
I just want to throw legal documents at my opponents.
Oh, yes, please. I want to be able to physically hurt my opponents with an objection. Like, I want it to hurt them.
Yeah, the point. Like,
that would be so good.
That would be his, like, side special.
Exactly. Ugh. I want it. And maybe you can charge it, and the louder he screams, the more it hurts.
Yeah.
The more upset he is as he objects, the more damage you take. Yeah, that would be great. I'd be very here for it. Plus, you could do some cool skin stuff, I'm sure, with, you know, the new one coming out. Maybe there's an alt skin for that character as a promotional piece. But yeah, that would be really cool. I would like that. Both of us not expecting it to be a Pokemon, but this is a Pokemon podcast, and it's a fun thing to think about. So we're going to talk Pokemon now. And if it were to be a Pokemon, what we would want to see, or things that would be fun to see, maybe even what we would expect to see if it were likely. But we're just going to talk Pokemon and Smash Brothers. If you want a recap of which Pokemon are already in there, fear not. I've got it. The original Smash Brothers featured Pikachu and Jigglypuff. The second generation, they added Pichu and Mewtwo. They then added Pokemon Trainer, which represents three Pokemon, Squirtle, Ivysaur, and Charizard, and Lucario, my fave. Smash Brothers 4 and Ultimate only added one character each. They added Greninja and Incineroar, respectively. So we've got those characters already. And I think there are, personally, I think there are some surprising omissions to this point. I'm not surprised that they eventually slowed down on how many Pokemon they were adding, because if they had added two more Pokemon each generation, it would actually be surpassing, I think, the Super Mario franchise in characters represented. I think if they added one more, they would either tie Mario or be like just one behind. So it makes sense they kind of slowed down. But let's speculate, or let's dream, or let's hope. I sort of asked you, Zach, ahead of time, like, think of some top picks for yourself that you would either want to see in Smash Brothers or that you think would work really, really well. I made my own list based on sort of some of those different things. And I actually asked on Twitter, sort of unofficially, if you could add a Pokemon character to Smash, what would it be and like why? What would they do? And so I think between that, we'll have lots of different options to sort of talk through. So I guess we could just dive into that. I would love to start with one of your choices. So I don't know how you want to pick it or how you approached it, but I would love to start with one of yours. So how did you approach the task, and what's the first one that you would want to see or talk through?
The first one I'm going to say is probably the most predictable. So when you asked me this, the only one that came to mind immediately was, and this might get some eye rolls from some people, but I thought of Decidueye. I thought that he would be a good fit with the archery type of deal going on there.
Yeah.
And like, I liked Decidueye in Pokken Tournament. It kind of made me like that Pokemon more. And also I played with Decidueye in Sun and Moon. So that was a no brainer choice for me. And it fits the bill of like a flagship starter. I know it was the same generation as Incineroar, so it wouldn't make too much sense to have two from the same generation of starters, but yeah.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think it would be such an easy thing to sort of adapt. Obviously, you know, I'm not saying you could just copy and paste it, but like, as far as the development of the character and the fighting style and all that sort of stuff, like, you've got a base with Pokken there that you can kind of work from. The last two generations are really the only ones that have sort of set this expectation that if it were another starter evolution, it would need to be grass or it would need to be from a different generation. Prior to that, all of the Pokemon represented were largely just sort of like mascot-ish, right? Yeah. Or like large marketing resonant Pokemon. The Pikachu and Jigglypuff make perfect sense. Lucario makes a lot of sense. Based on how much they pushed Lucario, right?
Yeah.
Mewtwo makes sense. Stuff like that. So I do agree with you. Like, it would be a really, really obvious choice and a really great choice, a really fun choice. I don't think it would have to necessarily be that, though. And I don't think it couldn't be that if they wanted to add another one. So I like that. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think, you know, one thing I put on my list as far as like a likely options was Rillaboom, sort of for that pattern reason, right? And I think a lot of people talk about Rillaboom. One of the people who responded to my tweet said Rillaboom. And that's sort of built on this recent emerging pattern, if you will, of a starter of a particular type that hasn't been used, fully evolved. So what would that be if we pulled it from Sword and Shield? Oh, it would be Rillaboom. Personally, I don't think I would like Rillaboom in there. It's my least favorite starter, full evolution from Sword and Shield. I think you could do some cool moves and stuff with it, but I don't think I would be especially excited to see it. I would much more be excited to see Decidueye, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
As far as other starters go, because I did like list that, I kind of had like, okay, here's fighter types I think would be cool. Here's some current options that would be cool. Who would I choose if it were a starter? My personal favorite that I would love to see that has and has always had a 0% chance, I think, of ever making it into Smash Brothers would be Emboar. I think it would be really fun to represent that style of fighter, which would be the sort of DDD, Ganondorf, King K. Rool through a Pokemon character, because we don't really have that, and I just love Emboar. I think if you wanted a unique pick or like a sort of technically different pick, something sort of off the wall, Serperior, I think, could be really interesting, given that it moves differently. It is grass,
well, so
it would sort of fill out that trio. It's a generation that hasn't been used before. It's just sort of displaced in time, so I can't imagine it being added outside of being relevant.
But yeah,
I think it'd be fun to imagine.
Ooh, that would be cool, this, like the snake serpent thing. I didn't think of that. So another one I have on my list is Chandelure.
Ooh.
Just because I really like that Pokemon. It's always been one of my favorites, so I think it'd be cool. I don't know how it'd work. I only have my vision of a lot of these are Pokemon, like game Pokemon that were in Pokken tournament.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. Like, it makes sense because we've seen how they work, right? If you had said Chandelure and I didn't have a reference, I would be like, that's bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, how
yeah.
would you even make that work? But I now, like, I've seen how it works, and it works really, really well.
Yeah. So that's my second choice, and I only have one other choice.
Well, I do want to explore Chandelure for like just a second, though,
because sure.
I think you could do cool things in Smash specifically with Chandelure that might deviate from Pokken, because Smash is sort of the sort of like open melee style, and because it's all fully from one perspective, I think you could do cool things that take advantage of both the fact that it's a fire Pokemon, but really take advantage of the fact that it's a ghost Pokemon.
Yes.
I think you could do really cool things.
Yeah.
That make it like super evasive, especially.
Mm-hmm.
That could be really, really neat. So that's just kind of like if I'm envisioning how it moves around the field, I think it could be really unique.
Yeah. Like I'm picturing like it's a recovery move to just be like a vanish and then you reappear.
Yeah.
So we're kind of like Mewtwo's teleport, but like more mysterious.
Yeah. Or like, Mewtwo would be a good sort of comparison. I was thinking like sort of the way Zelda moves in the hands of people who really know how to use her.
Yeah.
Where she just sort of like blips around the field. You're like, wait, what? How did that happen?
Yeah.
I could see Chandelure sort of occupying a similar space. And that's cool too, because that's sort of like a type of fighter I hadn't really envisioned. So I like that. I like that
okay.
a lot.
Yeah. And like purple fire moves, please. And they all have to be
yes.
purple fire.
Fire of any other color is so cool. Yeah, what was your last one? What was the last one you thought of?
My last one ended up being probably my favorite Pokemon from, well, one of my favorite Pokemon from Sword and Shield.
Ooh.
So, Copperajah.
Ooh.
I think it would
ooh,
be super
let's
cool.
talk through how that one would work.
So, big, huge steel type, moves so slowly.
Yeah.
But, like, just absorbs damage like a sponge. That's it.
It would sort of occupy that space I was talking about with Emboar, where it's like, where's our big beefy Pokemon?
Yeah.
Where's our big sort of like defensively focused Pokemon?
And then the Gigantamax thing, perfect final smash, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I will say, if they were to add a Pokemon from Sword and Shield, it absolutely, I think you could boil it down to Pokemon that Gigantamax. Because if it's being used to sort of like highlight the generation, yeah, I mean it's gotta have that, right? So I think you could pretty much cancel anything that doesn't Gigantamax out of the equation. That fits into it though, and I can see it. I also can see exactly how Copperajah would like move around the field, and like I can imagine it having moves that just like, because it's slow, because its wind up would probably need to be big, and because it's, you know, it has to have weaknesses to balance out like its ridiculous defense.
Mm-hmm.
I could see a lot of its moves just being like whomping about, like with its trunk or like falling on people, because it's just like a massive pachyderm. Like, I think it would be really funny to sort of see how they would interpret that into the Smash Brothers format. And I like that. That never would have crossed my mind. I love that you chose that.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking of Pokemon I like too. So that was.
Yeah.
And then it just seemed
to fit.
Oh,
that's good. That's so funny. I wonder, could its final smash somehow incorporate Chairman Rose, like just in the scene?
Yeah.
Just to get a little bit more of him.
Of course.
That'd be funny. I like that you made sure to include one of your favorite recent ones, because I think obviously that's like the first place you would start, right? If you're thinking, okay, if they're going to bring in a Pokemon, it's probably something current from the current generation. I did choose two as well that I thought would sort of fit that category. I think if we were going to get a Pokemon from Sword and Shield that would fit into Smash Brothers, I think the highest likelihood choices are probably Toxtricity.
Yep.
Which is the electric poison type. It has two forms. I think you could even do something with the forms if you wanted to. You could have one of the forms have a higher attack or speed. You could have the other one have a higher defense. You could make them sort of like it's weird to say pseudo echo fighters, but you could kind of do that if you wanted to, or have a mechanic where they, you know, swap out or it changes forms, which doesn't really make sense, but in Smash Brothers, who cares?
Yeah, right.
Or I could see them doing Obstagoon, because I think it would fit really well into Smash Brothers. It's a bit more conventional because it's almost humanoid. So is Toxtricity. But I do think, you know, Greninja and Incineroar sort of fit that as well. Lucario fits that. Mewtwo fits that. So I could see those being like the top choices for them to sort of adapt. But I think a fun one that would sort of fit a fighter type that isn't really represented in Pokemon, probably for good reason, it would be sort of a Roy or a Cloud style fighter, would be Sirfetch'd.
Oh my gosh. It's actually funny you say this, because I thought of having that in this list.
I think it would be really fun, and I can very easily envision how it would fight and how it would move and what its sort of like big attacks would be. Again, I think it would be probably slower. It would probably have a decent defense, but ultimately you would be trying to avoid its massive leak and getting smashed with the massive leak, like with Cloud or Roy's swords. I mean, what other way do you get a sword fighter in through Pokemon? I mean, you typically don't, but that one would work.
Right. It would. Yeah. So, you know, the one of the complaints of Smash Brothers is too many sword fighters. So, but have we had a Pokemon sword fighter?
No. And I think honestly, if there's a reason that they think, you know, developing sword fighters is more fun or something like that, this is a way you could kind of disguise a sword fighter in through an unexpected franchise.
Yeah.
And it has a shield. Not many fighters have shields.
Well,
I think
true.
It's really honestly just Link.
That would be, yeah, you're right, I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it'd be cool.
They could do cool stuff with it. Yeah, that's a good choice.
Yeah. Some other ones that I thought of, I had two other sort of like, quote, categories of Pokemon in Smash. I have the sort of like surprised to be excluded to this point category. One of them is Gengar. I'm genuinely surprised Gengar was never added to Smash Brothers. One, because I do think it fits that earlier generation, recognizable, almost mascot-y thing. And it's so frequently been revived through mechanics in games, through Mega Evolution, through Gigantamaxing, that there's really never a point at which Gengar stopped being relevant. So I feel like they could have included it at any point. Granted, they did include it in Pokken, so it is represented in a fighting game. But I'm honestly surprised it never came up in Smash.
Yeah, it's not even an assist trophy.
No, I don't think it really appears anywhere. It's really wild.
Wait, wasn't it in the original game? The original Smash
Bros.? Was it? Like as one of the Pokeballs? I mean, they had fewer choices, so I wouldn't be surprised.
I
don't remember, though, because I can't think of what it did. That's usually how I remember the Pokeballs.
I think I'm mistaken. I was actually trying to think if it was in that Saffron City stage, but I don't think it was in there either.
Mm.
That is really surprising.
I mean, that would be the perfect place to include it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
The other one that I guess I'm not necessarily surprised they didn't do it, because it would seem like a ton of work, but it seems like one they could easily do at the same time conceptually. I'm surprised we didn't get another Pokemon trainer. not necessarily just like a different generation, but a different type of Pokemon trainer. One person did respond to my tweet saying, like, I would love another Pokemon trainer for like the Johto line, or really anything from Johto at all. I just stan Johto, basically. And I was like, I feel that. I do feel that.
Yeah.
But I think if I were to do a Pokemon trainer, I think they very easily could do like an Eeveelution trainer.
Oh
and
my gosh.
Maximize some of the options there.
Yeah.
You know? Not necessarily doing Jolteon, Flareon, Vaporeon, because that's almost the same as the starter trio, but doing something like Espeon, Glaceon, Sylveon, or something like that, where it's like a totally different set of types. And it fits the sort of mascot-y Pokemon vibe with Eevee and the Eeveelutions.
Yeah, I also don't think Eevee or any of Eevee's evolutions are in Smash Brothers, so that'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't think they are either. And you'd have some quadruped fighters, which we don't really have.
Yeah, unless Copperajah is in.
That's true.
Just saying.
All quadrupeds. We're adding all quadrupeds. The only other sort of ones I specifically thought of before I read you some more of the tweets, I really was trying to think, how can Pokemon get a tag team in? You know, I love Ice Climbers. I think they're super fun. And I wanted to think, how could you do that with Pokemon? And I thought of two options I would love to get your thoughts on.
Okay.
Neither one of them would ever make it into Smash because they don't fit any of the mascot type categories. But just imagine with me.
Okay.
One of them, I think that would be a very straightforward tag team, like a Ice Climbers, would be Meowstic male and female, the psychic cats, the blue and the white one.
Yeah.
I just want another tag team. And I feel like in the world of Pokemon, you have so few options. And I think that could be a fun one.
That would be fun. Another psychic duo. Or I guess not another one, but it would be a psychic duo.
One more psychic Pokemon.
Right. Yeah, no, that'd be cool. I'm looking at him now. I kind of had to refresh my memory.
Well, that's why they have no chance of ever making it in, right? Is like they're not mascots even close. But I was just trying to think of like other tag team style. Like I don't want Plusle and Minun because we already have Pichu and Pikachu. That would just be like a it'd be Pichu, but like two of them.
Yeah.
How to make Pichu more annoying. Put two of them on the field.
For Meowstic, what is like the difference between these two versions of them like in the games?
I do think it's largely just male and female. If there's a corresponding difference, I imagine it has to do with attack and defense, which is usually what they do.
Okay.
When they create a specific difference between the two. I think for the purposes of Smash, they would pretty much just operate like the Ice Climbers. I think they would just be two fighters.
Okay.
One of which you have control of, one of which kind of like mimics the other or something to that effect. That's how I'm envisioning it, at least.
Yeah, that'd be cool. They haven't done that since Ice Climbers, so it'd be cool to have that come back.
They probably haven't done it because it's probably an absolute nightmare, right? Weren't they, like, not... Were they not in...
Smash 4.
4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of how nightmarish it was, apparently.
I felt so betrayed. I felt so betrayed.
Well, I think it was mostly because of the 3DS.
I felt like I had gotten the hang of them in Brawl and then was just so mad.
Yeah. It was because they wanted parity between the 3DS and Wii U versions, and the 3DS just couldn't do it. So,
yeah. Makes sense, I guess. the other sort of tag team idea I had, another one that would never make it in, but this one mimicking a little bit more the Rosalina-style tag team as opposed to the, like, one-to-one. Rosalina, obviously, is, like, the main fighter, but she also fights with her... what's the thing called? The Lumen?
Luma.
Luma, thank you. I think you could do a Pokemon version of that or something similar if you had like a Florgus and a Flabébé, the sort of like flower fairy Pokemon from X and Y that I do think were actually like pretty prominent in the sort of grand scheme of X and Y. I think you probably could have argued like, yeah, these are mascot-y. I do think they've lost a lot of relevance since then, so obviously I wouldn't expect to see them, but again, I was just trying to think of, like, different types of fighters.
Yeah, well, actually, what if you had, like, that's a three-stage Pokemon, right? Flabébé.
Yeah.
And then, what if you just had all three? That would be really cool.
That would be wild. Like, how would, I guess you could have sort of, like, maybe Florgus is, like, the one you're controlling, whatever the one in the middle is called, because I can never remember middle evolution names.
Floette. I'm looking
Thank
at it
you, Floette. Could be sort of like your Ice Climber pair, and then Flabébé could be part of an attack. Yeah, you could sort of fit all three of them on there if you wanted to, in some sort of way. If ice climbers are a nightmare, just wait till you see the Flabébé trio.
Well, I'm actually thinking, like, it could just be, instead of, like, them just following each other, like, in the same way of ice climbers, they could just be, like, you could mainly control Florgus, and then Flabébé and Floette are, like, just a part of her, like, as a...
Yeah.
Almost, like, weapons, I guess, but...
Yeah, that makes sense.
So then it would just be, like... built more in the same way of a traditional Smash Brothers character, but you're actually like three.
Yeah, it would be like a more restrained version of Luma, right? Like maybe you wouldn't be able to send it across the field necessarily, but it would be what your reach is. Like your reach is basically Floette and Flabébé, and your smashes would largely be Floette and Flabébé. And then Florgus largely just gets to move around and look beautiful. You know?
Yeah.
I think that could be cool. I like that idea. I hadn't thought of it in that sort of way, but I like that even better than just sort of like mimicking Rosalina. I'm trying to think of like what else would make sense. I at one point had thought like Machamp would be kind of obvious, but for that reason I didn't really want to see it necessarily.
What's the big bunny with the punching ears?
The big bunny with the punching ears? Oh, Bunnelby? The ground one?
Yeah.
Diggersby?
That's it, yeah. Bunnelby is its pre-evolution. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one's like, oh yeah, if you want a fighting Pokemon, that one
would
fit in Smash and just have it punch everything with big ears.
That would be kind of funny to watch. And it could roll around if you really wanted it to.
Oh yeah, that'd be
cool. Think Roserade?
Yeah, that'd be cool. I've always liked Roserade.
I feel like Roserade's pretty popular too. I don't think people would be like mad at it being in there.
Oh no. I think it's actually like strangely popular, I feel.
It's one of the ones I'm always surprised by because people always seem to be talking about it.
Yeah, what about another quadrupedal slow guy? What about Torterra?
Oh my gosh, can you imagine watching that thing walk around? It would be can Torterra even jump? It would have to do the Ivysaur thing and like lift itself with its vines. Doug, but it would be kind of fun.
I'm not even kidding. I'm going through a list of all these Pokemon. Like I'm looking at them all, and like the ones I want in Smash are all these big quadrupedal Pokemon. Mamoswine, please, yes.
Well, I think it makes sense because the one sort of not one. There's plenty of fighter types not represented in Pokemon, but there isn't really like a big hulking Pokemon. I mean, the best example is Charizard, I guess. But even then, it's balanced out by literally being able to swap it with Squirtle and Ivysaur. You know what I mean? Incineroar is big, but I would hardly describe it as like a slow hulking, you know, fighter. It's certainly not a Ganondorf or a DDD. So like, I think it would be really fun to have a slow bruiser defensive type represented by Pokemon. I think it makes sense. A lot of those end up being quadrupeds.
Yeah, that's like all I want.
Well, somebody did, I'm looking through these tweet replies now. Somebody said Walrein. He'd be really slow, but with thick fat and would take less damage than any character.
Oh, man. I don't.
A big walrus.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Somebody else sort of in the same sort of vein said Slaking. His attacks would be OP, but 50% of the time your input just doesn't work. Because he's asleep.
That's funny.
Let's see what other folks we got here. Somebody did recommend Chansey, which wouldn't necessarily be... I guess it could kind of fit into that same category. I think it would take very little damage. It would be sort of a healer. It would probably be, you know, it would serve sort of the same role as in the game. So I could see that one pretty easily. I'm trying to think if there are other like big ones people were talking about. Not really. Somebody said Ditto, which I thought was kind of an interesting concept because... their sort of idea was Ditto, and they could change into anybody on the field. And I think that could kind of work if you had it work a certain way, right? Like, Kirby kind of half does that, where he can, like, steal a power from people. If you had Ditto on the field, I think you could do something where Ditto, in a base form, couldn't really do much damage or might have sort of low defense. And so it was sort of necessary to... mimic or transform into other fighters, but maybe there's either a timer or there's some mechanic that like doesn't allow you to just stay one fighter or something. Like I think you could make Ditto a really bizarre technical character.
Well, Ditto is in Smash Brothers as a Pokeball.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And it'll do exactly that, right? Like it'll basically mimic you, right? Or it'll transform into you, and then there's like two of you on the field.
Yeah,
yeah, which is cool. I'm just like imagining like how it would work if it were a fighter you actually had.
Yeah, that would be kind of tough, but I that'd be cool though if you could just transform at will, into whoever's on the field.
Yeah. It would be strange because it would be like the perfect fighter for the people who study everyone. Like we had a friend in college. One of the reasons that like I even became remotely okay at Smash Brothers is because you and I had a friend in college who like I was like, can you please teach me? Like, can you literally just teach me? Luckily, this person goes on to be like an actual college professor. So like I asked the right person, but he just like sat me down and like taught me specific things piece by piece. And it's because he's the type of player that like he doesn't just know the fighters he likes to use. He knows everybody else too so that he can fight against them really well. And I feel like Ditto would be perfect for that type of player.
Yeah.
Because you could just shift into 3 to 7 other people on the field and you just have this like massive knowledge set.
Yeah. I feel like – or for people who also just – spread themselves thin like myself and play as everyone.
That's true too. Yeah. I have a general knowledge of everybody. Yeah. Yeah. Well, who are we leaving out? Are there any obvious ones? I don't know. Is it weird Deoxys never made it in? I know it's an assist trophy, but.
No, I don't think that's weird.
A lot of assist trophies.
I feel like if we wanted to go like obvious ones or like ones they might choose. Well, I feel like Zeraora. Zero.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Like
Zeraora would be so much fun.
Yeah, that one was like a probably like a Lucario-esque kind of thing that I don't think he ever hit the popularity of Lucario, but that could be a cool one.
Well, because mythical Pokemon just don't get mythical Pokemon. They're cool, but like I'm not gonna lie, I forget about mythical Pokemon a lot because they don't really play a role in the game a lot of the time, and they really sort of exist almost entirely for like movies and in-game events. Like I was reminded that Hoopa exists the other day and I was like, oh my god, I completely forgot Hoopa is a Pokemon.
Yeah,
like I just forgot Hoopa exists. Which is sad because Hoopa is a dope design, but I do love Zeraora. I would love to see Zeraora in the game. I think it would probably be easy to predict how Zeraora would fight, but
yeah.
I would like it. It'd be so fast.
Yeah, that'd be so cool. I think I've hit all the ones I would want. And I've been constantly scrolling through all the Pokemon on screen and nothing else is sticking out.
I would love to hear what other people consider like unconventional choices so that I can like imagine how they would work. Like I want the person who's like, I have been wanting Vanillux in Smash Brothers forever. You know what I mean? Like who's that person? So that's what I want to hear. If you're listening to this and you have ideas, by all means, please tweet them at me or at the Victory Road account. Because I would love to explore some of these further. Again, I don't think any of our choices are making it into that final spot, but I would be excited if they did.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like none of these are even if they did have a Pokemon as the last one, like we probably didn't talk about the one that they chose.
I know. Like what would it
crazy
I don't even
think of.
I guess like maybe Zeraora is already outdated. Like it already wouldn't be the best choice to include in that spot. And then Zarud, again, mythical Pokemon I frequently forget exists, largely because that movie hasn't even come out yet. I don't think that's going to be in there.
Uh-oh. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's why they just got to put Dracovish in.
Fastest fighter in the game. Isn't that the one that has just like an obscene speed?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it is. It's like, I think it's, if I'm thinking of the right one, it's like just like massively OP in the weirdest way. Cause you're like that thing for real. Oh my gosh. What if they did a Galar fossil fighter and it was literally just like mix and match your pieces.
Yeah. I'm literally looking
horrifying.
At them. And like, I thought there were three. I don't remember this fourth one.
No, there's two tops and two bottoms, right?
Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah, wait. One, two. Like, there's this blue one. There's this dragon-looking one that's green. And then there's the yellow. Oh, I see. You never see the bottom half of the yellow one.
Yeah, I don't think, yeah, you there theoretically should be more, but I don't think all the all the pieces of all the fossils are found.
Gotcha.
Because, like, if there's a bottom, we don't see what the top looks like. And if there's a top, we don't see what the bottom looks like.
Oh, I see. Okay, that changes what I thought, because I was always trying to piece them together to make a fully complete one, but you can't do that. Oh, well.
It's just it's a body horror world over there in Galar. If you're a fossil Pokemon, your existence is pain.
God.
Well, I think we have speculated quite a bit here. I would love to hear other people's speculation, but I think that's probably it for us today with regards to Smash Brothers.
Last one.
Yes.
Last
you've, you've thought of another.
Inteleon. That'd be cool.
Oh, Inteleon would be super fun.
Yeah.
I actually think, you know, I mentioned Rillaboom, but I think Inteleon or Cinderace would fit very well into the game.
Yeah, actually, all three of those would be good choices, I think. Okay,
I agree.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
I can't believe I didn't say that one earlier.
You're good. They're good start. As starters, they would all fit into the Smash Brothers environment seamlessly, I think. So with that, we are done speculating for the time being, although I'm sure Zach and I privately will think of things after the fact and text each other our ideas.
Yeah.
If you have the same thing going on, just tweet at us. I would love to hear everybody's ideas because there are, you know, almost 900 Pokemon. So theoretically, you could think up a moveset and pluck any out and plop them into Smash Brothers, and it would be at the very least thought-provoking. So let us know. Thank you, Zach, for joining me as co-host of this episode. Thank you for joining me on another adventure along the Victory Road. Would you like people to find you online, or should they leave you alone?
Oh, gosh, I don't really have much of a social media presence. I have a Twitter. You can follow me there, ZyroKai. But yeah. I don't tweet too much these days, and it's not really Pokemon related, so just warning there.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. If you would like information on the show, be sure to find the podcast on social media. I said it before, Victory Road Pod. And if there's anything in the world of Pokemon you know a whole lot about and you'd like to appear on the podcast, just let us know. Once again, thank you, Zach. Until next time, I am headed back to the Pokemon Center to place my bets on the final Smash Brothers Ultimate Fighter. See ya later.
Bye. Thanks for having me.
But wait, there's more. Like I said at the top of this episode, we're talking about Pokemon Unite because that just came out. I have brought my friend Tommy here to talk about Pokemon Unite. It's the new game that just came out like two-ish weeks ago. And we're going to do like a quick little geek out about everything we love and maybe don't love about Pokemon Unite. Tommy, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going, Doug? Good. Yeah, it is going good for me, so...
I think both of us were just finishing up a match in Pokemon Unite separately right before this recording, if I read my friends list correctly.
Yeah, chances are, as of right now, if I'm doing something, it is finishing up a match in, yep. in Pokemon Unite. Yep. So
I'm like, well, I got 15 minutes. I could sneak one in.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but it's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed it immensely so far.
Cool. Well, I can't wait to geek out about it with you. Real quick, we'll, you know, obviously I want to have you on for like a full episode at some point, but you haven't been on Victory Road yet. So what is your quick background with Pokemon? Have you been playing it for a long time? Is it something that you sort of dip in and out of, or is it new for you?
It's the first two. So I've been playing it ever since. I think my first Pokemon game that I owned myself was Yellow. And then I played that for a bit, but then I played the heck out of Gold. And so just ever since then, I played for a ton. Took a break around Diamond and Pearl. And then just kind of got back into it more recently and been playing just a lot of different things. I've played through Sword and Shield, and then I also have just rediscovered some of the older games through emulators, which have been a lot of fun, and Randomizer. So nice. That's kind of my quick background in Pokemon.
Cool. And like I said, we'll get more into it because some of the stuff that you've mentioned to me, I do want to talk about on an episode proper at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Pokemon Unite is something called a MOBA or M-O-B-A, a multiplayer online battle arena. Am I getting that correctly?
that abbreviation?
I think so. It's either multiplayer or massive. I think it's multiplayer. Yeah, because it's not massive. It's only like at most 12 people, right? So yeah, it's got to be multiplayer.
Yeah. And if that didn't clue everybody in, I just learned what this term was because of Pokemon Unite. So I have to ask you, Tommy, do you have any familiarity, because that would be more than me, with the MOBA genre or format of games?
Very, very little. But I have been aware of them for a while because I have followed just various different like competitive gaming leagues. Mm-hmm. Not exactly the MOBA scene necessarily, but sure, that is like one of the bigger scenes, obviously. So I am familiar with just kind of like League of Legends and Dota. I can, you know, pick out the characters at least, like some of the time.
Sure.
You know, when I see a match going on. But other than that, you know, I, again, more of like the competitive gaming scene I'm more familiar with. I've played a lot of Overwatch when it was super popular, which not a MOBA, but it has a lot of kind of MOBA-esque tactics to it. And then, you know, followed like Overwatch League and stuff like that. But really, as far as playing them goes, my friends were super into Heroes of the Storm.
Okay.
And I tried to play that. That's the Blizzard MOBA.
Oh,
and
okay.
I tried to play it a little bit, and I could not get into it at the time. But Pokemon Unite has been so easy to pick up and so simple that, like, I would not go back and try to play something else, because it feels like this is right up my alley.
Yeah, I feel like, I guess we'll probably talk a little bit about it, but I do feel like the barrier to entry for this game is only slightly higher than like a Pokemon Core series game. Like, I don't know if my like 10-year-old niece would be able to pick it up, but I could be totally underestimating the ability of a 10-year-old to pick up this game and just play it. Because I do think it is relatively easy to just dive right in and start figuring things out, which is nice. I wouldn't have expected that if I had known this was comparable to things like Heroes of the Storm, or I think somebody mentioned like even League of Legends is kind of in the same category. If I had known that ahead of time, I probably would have been a lot more hesitant to pick this game up. But yeah, I feel like it was pretty easy to pick up as well. So here's the thing. If you haven't been playing Pokemon Unite or paying any attention to it, I'll do my quick description, and then Tommy, you dive into whatever else feels like it'll accurately sort of describe this game. So I think if you have no familiarity, the best place to start is Pokemon Unite kind of looks like a sports game, but isn't a sports game. You have anywhere from 3 to 5 people on your team versus 3 to 5 people on the other team. You pick a Pokemon fighter that has to be unique on your team. So it's always 3 to 5 different Pokemon. And then the match starts and you have to defeat wild Pokemon, defeat your opponents. And every time you do that, you get points that you sort of collect, and you have to score them in goals on the other side of the field. So it looks a little sports-like, but it's actually a bit more action, action-oriented than something like an actual FIFA game or an actual Madden game. So don't let the fact that it looks like a sports game deter you if you're not typically into that type of thing. So that's kind of my basic description, is like you fight Pokemon on the field, you get points, you try to score those points on your opponents. What would you kind of add as far as like describing what this game is?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's 100% accurate. I think that the added elements are more depth than anything. I think that there's some kind of strategy, right, behind how you go about and you attack wild Pokemon, how you go about and you, in MOBAs, they call it laning. So like which lane you go into, which is, you know, the field is separated by like a top, a mid, and then a bottom. And so there's strategy involved with like, do I go to this lane or do I switch to from, you know, top to bottom or whatever? And then, you know, also with some of the depth with items and things like that as well. You know, there's items that you can give to your Pokemon to go into battle with, and they do various different things. So it's kind of nice, because I think that the description that you gave, Doug, is like super apt. And that's like, you know, if you know nothing else about the game, and you're like, this just sounds like a fun, like quick sports action thing that I can jump into. That's not really sports, but it kind of looks like it. I think that like, that's all you need to know. But then it also offers kind of like a more, you know, deep strategy-based, you know, team-based kind of structure where you can really go super deep with it.
Yeah, you can be competitive about it if you want to. You can also be relatively casual about it. Yep. There are different game modes. Right now, there are three basic ones. There's ranked, which is what it sounds like. You're competing with other people to try to raise your rank. There's standard, which is like, I just want to jump into a match. If we're doing the sports thing, it's like an exhibition match, not a playoff match. And then there's like quick match, which is like a short version on a special field with like different rules than mm-hmm. the standard thing. If you were to play Pokemon Unite, basically the progression of how you get to a match and what that looks like, you pick your Pokemon, you pick some items like Tommy was talking about, and then you have some communication with your teammates if you don't know them, but you might squad up with people that you know or your friends. And here's the thing. This is one of my favorite things. Nintendo and Pokemon games are not known for smooth online experiences. However, Pokemon Unite makes it so easy and so simple. I'm floored at how easy it is to play multiplayer on a Pokemon game.
I was going to say, I'm right there with you where like jumping into a match is so quick. Like usually, like you hit the button, you hit the ready, and like there's a match ready.
Yeah,
you. Like there's no way.
It's amazing because you and I played Dead by Daylight together, and you might wait as long for a match in Dead by Daylight as it takes to play a match in Pokemon Unite. It's incredible. Yeah. So you pick your Pokemon, you pick your items, you match up with your team. You might decide where you're gonna go, and then in the match itself, you basically just decide like, do I want to team up with these people? Do I want to go off on my own? How do I balance out, like, this teammate is an attacker, this teammate is a defender, and I'm a support player? And you kind of just figure out what works, and there's some strategy involved, but you know, you really can just kind of hang out with people and figure out what makes the most sense for each individual match. Like I said, barrier to entry very low if you want to just, you know, hop on and play. But it is deeper than that. So I'm curious to hear from you, as far as a game like this goes, what about Pokemon Unite is really working for you?
It's funny. I think I described it to you as it like tickles that part of my brain that that I don't usually exercise a lot, which is like that competitive aspect. Mm-hmm. And specifically like the team-based aspect of it. And so I have really taken to kind of the ranked mode and just kind of trying to grind and rank up a lot, and you know the kind of ups and downs that come with that when you win a match by like, you know, hundreds of points and then lose you know really close. I think that aspect of it I've really, really enjoyed. I've also enjoyed you know, when we've played together, you know, us and then a couple of our friends have been able to like jump on and get on voice and you know, play out some of the different game modes, and playing like quick matches as just like a refresher is always really nice, especially you know, like I said, I've been getting into the trying to rank up, and when I get frustrated with it, it's like, okay, well, I can at least just go into quick mode where it doesn't matter at all and just have fun with it.
And it sort of resets your mind frame because those do have like different rules. So you kind of have to force yourself to like not think about the standard play for at least 5 minutes, which I think is like, it's like a palate cleanser.
Absolutely. That's a perfect way to describe it. And also too, I mean, again, they rotate the maps in quick mode, which is probably, I know we'll talk about some stuff that we hope will come, but it's nice because when you're playing standard and you're playing ranked, there's only one map right now, and so it is nice to just get some kind of differentiation. And there's different Pokemon too in the different areas in the quick matches, which is just like, man, I mean, I wish they would just, you know, if they just, you know, ported some of them over to the other, you know, quick or standard mode, like that would be awesome.
I will say one thing that's working for me right now is the fact that they do have different Pokemon with different like battle styles or play styles. And it's fun to sort of figure out what works for you, like what mood you're in for which play style. Right. So like for me, my sort of like main trio right now that I'm mostly cycling with is Charizard, who they kind of start you off as. It's sort of the Mario version yeah. where it's like well-rounded, easy to pick up, good, like a little bit good at everything, not an expert at anything. Sometimes I stick with that when I'm like, I need to just not think too hard. But then I've also been dabbling in Cinderace, who is like a quick distance attacker, mm-hmm. and Eldegoss, who is like a distance supporter. And so it's fun to sort of decide, like, how do I want to play today? What am I in the mood for? And try to get good at different play styles. That's been a lot more fun to me than I expected it would have been.
Yeah, me too. And I think being able to, I mean, you start off with a decent amount of Pokemon, yeah. and then you can unlock more, obviously, as you earn the various in-game currencies and stuff. But yeah, being able to just switch and, you know, try out different play styles, I think has been a really fun thing for me too. Like, I started with Talonflame.
Yeah.
Who is awesome, but then I picked up Gengar, and then after that, Machamp, and I have, like, not picked Talonflame back up since. Like, I've just, like, and each time I've kind of, like, progressed onto, like, you know, master, or trying to master that specific role.
Yeah.
Which has been a lot of fun, and like, those specific Pokemon, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's nice. It's nice because, like, we've said so many times, like, there is room to sort of choose how you want to play. If you want to choose one of those very specific fighters, you can do exactly what you're talking about, is like trying to master that playstyle.
Yeah.
If you don't want to, there's specifically fighters that are called all-arounders, like Charizard. But there are other ones, too, where you can just sort of be reliable and play very straightforwardly. And it's still fun, I think, to play with those guys.
Yep. And one thing that's cool, too, is in quick mode, they tend to like cycle who is unlocked for you as well. So even if you don't have a Pokemon unlocked, I don't have Wigglytuff unlocked.
Yeah,
but
same.
In quick mode, I've played Wigglytuff a couple of times because it's just there. It's just an option for me.
Yeah.
So, and again, I can't quite remember if they unlock everyone or if it just kind of rotates, but it's a really cool thing to just be able to try something out and not have to commit to, you know, spending however much gold or whatever the currency is to unlock them fully.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think Wigglytuff tends to show up for me when there's like, but I think you're right. I think they cycle through because mm-hmm. I think there's some that I haven't really been able to play because I don't have Machamp and I have rarely ever played Machamp. So I think that one's not been cycled in for me yet. Yeah. But I'm very curious. I always forget that Machamp is there because I never get to choose it.
I have absolutely loved Mitch. I mean, it's just, he's just so fun. It's just so fun to just beat people up. Like,
yeah.
Literally just literally punching,
yeah.
and just beating people up. It's awesome.
Yeah, he's got his four arms and he does like E Honda, like palm move, like over and over. It's so cool.
It's rad. And you have Lucario, right?
I do. I have Lucario. Lucario is the first character. They're called licenses, Pokemon licenses. It's the first Pokemon license that I purchased with my, you know, in-game currency. I will say I have spent money on the game, but specifically just the battle pass, because I quickly realized this is a game I will put a lot of time into. I think today is actually the first day I was able to actually see my playtime. I've already put like 30 hours into it, so I felt like an $8 battle pass was more than appropriate to show my support for this game.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah. All that said, yeah, Lucario was the first one I unlocked when I had the opportunity, and then Eldegoss was next. Lucario is fun. Lucario is a much more close range battler than I am ready for.
Yeah.
But I'm getting used to him, because the cool thing about Lucario and some of the other folks, like Talonflame or Zeraora has some of this, is everybody moves like relatively slowly on the field, but certain Pokemon can use their attacks to dash around. Lucario is one of those. So as I'm getting used to how some of them move, I'm getting used to how I can sort of speed him up for me, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's again just one of those like intricacies, right? Of like the depth of play that. Yeah, knowing, especially if you're switching Pokemon and you're switching to try different things out, knowing like, okay, I need to save this move in case I need to get out of, you know, a jam and like, you know, just kind of get back to my own goal. Or I can use this move to go, you know, deeper into enemy territory, like a lot faster, those types of things. It's just, it's one of those things where it's like, they're very small nuances, especially just in games like this and in this game in particular, but it can make like such a huge difference.
Yeah. It's awesome. You really sort of like get out of your play style, what you feel like putting into it, which is cool.
Yeah.
So we alluded to some of the things already, but what are some of the things about Pokemon Unite that aren't working for you right now or that you'd like to see changed or tweaked in the future?
Yeah, there's a couple of them.
Should we start with Zapdos? That's what everyone's talking about.
Yeah, I was gonna say we should probably talk about the Zapdos in the room, which is Zapdos. Yeah, I mean, I think it's so, for folks, if you haven't played the game before, Zapdos is kind of a late spawn AI Pokemon that when whichever team is able to defeat Zapdos gets both a number of points added to each Pokemon who's alive at the time. They get additional XP, and then it unlocks the goals for you to go score on.
Which,
right?
Normally, so you'd have to sort of charge up a score, but if you get Zapdos, you can score immediately with your points.
Yeah, and so it just does a ton, and it comes in, I want to say, at like with like 2 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, it's the golden snitch of Pokemon Unite.
It really is. And I've seen so many Harry Potter memes with Zapdos. Yeah. So other people have made that comparison as well. So I would say they need to do something different with that for sure. I don't know what I would suggest. I don't know if you have any ideas, but yeah. I just think it swings things too much sometimes.
My suggestion... I don't have a huge problem with Zapdos, I think, relatively to some of the criticism I see. My biggest complaint with Zapdos is the mechanic with which you actually defeat it. Because the thing is, with some of these wild Pokemon that give you benefits on the field, you gain an advantage, or you gain a buff, or you gain something, right? Like points or whatever, kind of like you were saying with Zapdos. And the problem to me is that our team could do all the damage on Zapdos, but who gets the benefit is determined by who gets the KO hit. So the last person to hit it and knock it out is the one that gets it. So the current sort of like meta for a lot of players, not everybody, but I'm seeing it a lot more frequently than I did when the game initially dropped, is to just lay in wait and hope that your opponent will attack Zapdos and do the work for you and then swoop in and take it. That, to me, I think is the easiest thing they could fix. I think they could turn it into more of a tug of war as opposed to just last hit. I know some people have mentioned make it a percentage of damage. I think you could do something with that. I think there's still a little bit of a flaw in that because you still could kind of do the same thing. But I think that, to me, is the biggest thing. I don't mind the sort of golden snitch element of it. I think you could probably nerf it a little bit because you listed off like at least three benefits it gives you late in the game. I think you could randomize it so that it's two of the three or even one of the three benefits, but you still get a late game benefit. I think there are things you could do where you don't have to eliminate Zapdos, because I do think it is still I'd be lying if I said it wasn't satisfying to win because of Zapdos and pull ahead because of it, you know? Sometimes it feels good when it benefits you. It just feels bad when it doesn't. So I think you could do things that would tweak it. Derek, actually, my guest co-host from last week and my co-host over on Walloping Web Snappers, did send us something on the Twitter that said, I've noticed that my team either overwhelmingly wins or devastatingly loses. It's rarely neck and neck, so I wish game changers like Zapdos could come in earlier or maybe twice to give teams more of a chance to come back halfway through and make matches more unpredictable. Because... this is my commentary now, because a lot of times when you review the game, you can see that like, oh, we were behind until the very last 90 seconds. We got Zapdos and we pulled ahead, and then it was sort of a, you know, nothing anybody could do after that.
Yeah. And totally agree on all counts. I think if they wanted to make a really easy change, I think that the easiest change they could do is get rid of unlocking all goals. Because I think that is really what drives, that's what drives a lot of just like the, either you're super far ahead and you're just piling on and getting additional points, or you're able to just come back from an insurmountable lead. Because what people will do is you just have to basically rush in. Like, it's very hard to defend against it. If you get to the goal, you can basically score. And if they were able to take that aspect of away from it, I think that would probably make a big difference. I like what you had suggested, Doug, as well, in making it randomized. I think that would be really, really cool. I just knowing gamers, people would complain about the randomization of it, but I think that would be super fair. I think that would be a really fair way to do it. Or even if you don't want to go with randomization, maybe it's a voting system where it's like the team votes for which of the three mechanics or which of the three buffs they want at the end of the game when they get it. And so that,
or
that
even
adds,
before,
like,
honestly, like you could, yeah. like as you're readying up or squatting up, that could be a thing that you could preference. Especially if you don't want it randomized. It could be something where, you know, if there's a tie on your team, it randomizes, but you could also vote. And your vote could be public so that everybody could see, like, okay, it looks like it's leaning this way. I don't want it to be random, so I'm going to make sure that I tip this scale or whatever. I think there's stuff you could do where it wouldn't have to be random.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And also, too, that could change how you play around it as well.
Yeah.
You know, if just from the start of the game. I think that's a really cool one. I like that. But yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the biggest complaint at this point that folks have with the actual gameplay itself. Everything else feels, I mean, again, I'm not a huge MOBA person, but everything else feels really balanced to me as someone who's new to it. It's really just that that late game Zapdos push. And I will say one thing I do want to just mention is that, and I don't know if you feel the same way about this, but I feel like more recently, as folks have played the game more and more, people have changed the way they play around Zapdos, knowing that people can just, the other team can come in and steal.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, is I think, and maybe you've observed something differently, but what I've been observing is just people ignoring it entirely because basically if you don't see the other team attacking it, then you don't attack it either because you don't want them to swoop in. And the reason I noticed it is because I would see members from the other team hiding in the grass to make themselves invisible and no one would attack it. And then after a while, you'd just see them leave. I saw that a few times. And I was like, what is happening? And that's when it clicked, like, oh, everybody's just waiting for somebody else to attack it, which to me is kind of a bummer because, like, I don't want a mechanic in the game to just go ignored because the meta is wonky.
Yeah, nope, I totally agree with that.
I don't know if that's what you've been seeing.
No, I've seen a little bit of that. I've also seen I've seen teams more try to get, like, team wipes, you know, try to take out the other team or get some level of an advantage of having, like, one or two other opponent team members down before they go for Zapdos. And that feels more fine than just completely ignoring it. But you're right. There have been a couple of games that I've played where no team has gotten Zapdos.
Yeah.
Either because one team is just defending from it or, you know, the other team, like you said, is just kind of like lying in wait in the grass and waiting for someone to pounce on it and nobody does.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird to go a whole match without anybody attacking Zapdos.
Yeah.
Very strange.
So weird.
Well, what are some other things that – I don't know if there's anything else you'd change, but I'm sure there are at least things you'd love to see in the future. What are some of those things?
I mean, for me, I think really, I mean, just the minor stuff to get out of the way.
Yeah, of course.
The menu system is just overwhelming.
Oh my gosh.
For people. I mean, it's
so
awful.
Much.
And then we talked about load times, but the one thing that's, it's a minor thing, but so in two places, the game is really laggy, and that's in the Pokemon selection screen.
Yes.
And then when you're actually on, like, the menu where it's showing the full team and you can, like, look at, you know, the outfits and stuff like that that people have on, it's such a small thing, but it's also immensely frustrating to me because it's like,
I agree.
I want to see what, you know, cool stuff people have unlocked. Like, I want to see how people have dressed up their character. And then half the time, too, what'll end up happening is I don't know if you've noticed this, but sometimes the character models, at least mine does this, it'll just lose the pose that you give it in your picture, and it's like, what's happening? Why is this happening?
Yep, a friend of mine had that happening, and it was such a bummer because they had done like a clever pose with the stickers that you can add, and it just wasn't showing up.
Yeah, it's such a bummer. But I mean, the good thing is, I think small stuff like that should be fairly easy for them I mean, I'm not a game designer or anything like that, so I don't know. Maybe it's really difficult, but I'd have to imagine that that is a very easy thing for them to fix.
Seems easier than retooling Zapdos.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But then the only other thing, obviously, it's just, you know, adding new Pokemon and adding new maps,
yeah.
I think are the two things, which that's not even a, that's not a complaint or anything, because it's super early in the game's life, so.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the fact that they're treating this as a game that has designated seasons and the amount of conversation around this game, I can't imagine we won't make it to season 2, season 3, season 4, season 5, you know what I mean? And with each one of those, we're going to end up with more maps, more Pokemon, stuff like that. We already had one Pokemon added in Gardevoir. Blastoise is confirmed. We do find – one of my complaints was zero Johto represented on the fighting roster. Folks did mine the game data and found that there will be a Johto Pokemon added eventually, which is very exciting. I just want some Johto in here. The only Johto Pokemon that show up are wild Pokemon. So Johto's entire role in the game so far is just to get beat up. That makes me sad.
It's really sad, especially I had mentioned like Gold was kind of the game I think I played the most. It's like, you can't have, you know, just like one or two. Like, I mean, come on.
I know.
I'm not asking for much.
And there's so many good ones you could use too. So I look forward to seeing what other Pokemon they do eventually add. But that's the stuff that'll just come with time for sure.
For sure. Yep. The only other thing I would add, and this is, again, just like one of those really minor things. So talking about quick play, one thing that Overwatch had that I really liked was, well, it started out as a really frustrating thing, but then they morphed it into just like a really fun thing.
Yeah.
Was the ability to like basically have it unlocked. So you could have any number of the same Pokemon or any number of the same character in a match, in a non-ranked match, obviously.
Yeah.
I would just think it would be so cool to have a match where it's like you just have a team of all Machamps or,
that'd be so
you know
fun.
What I mean? Just like running around and just like punching each other. And like, I think stuff like that, just like silly things that they could add would be really cool, making it so that, you know, you can have the same Pokemon selected twice and also see what happens when you do that.
Oh, totally.
I'm sure like there's some really overwhelming builds that would come out of that, but you just see it if there's no stakes.
Yeah. If it's all exhibition anyway, why not? They've thought of it, I'm sure, because they sent out a survey. You can access it on their Twitter as long as it's still open. I don't know when it was set to close, but there was a survey where they were asking for feedback. I did that. And one of the things that they had is like, what are some things you'd like to see in the future? I don't remember exactly how it was phrased, but I could tell that was something they had at least thought about and wanted to see how people reacted to it. So maybe we'll see it in the future.
And I don't remember if this was there, but the only other thing I would say is kind of on the flip side, in kind of competitive matches, it would be nice if they locked it so that you basically had to have a support, had to have an all-rounder, or maybe not even like all of like the specific roles represented, but like make it so that like defender and, you know, so, like something like that, or you couldn't have too many melee.
I was going to say,
or something.
Instead of making it so that you have to have all roles, you could do it so that you can't have more than two of a particular role. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, you couldn't have, four attackers on your team.
Yeah, something like that I think would be helpful, because something that's been happening recently, and again, it's not. This is me being like super nitpicky, but matches where someone will be, you know, locked in a Snorlax and, you know, the team will kind of build around it. And then with like 5 seconds left, they'll switch to like Zera.
Oh my gosh.
Like, what?
Why was that happened? What you like, swapped to?
Yeah. Like why Zera of all things? We also have a speedster already. Yeah. What is happening?
Yeah. You know what they should do? Maybe this is, actually they do have this. People just don't use it. You can like quick chat, like what role you want to play, but no one ever uses it.
Yep.
So no one says like I'm gonna use a defender, because what happens is as you cycle through the Pokemon, your icon changes. So if you're not in a party that can talk to each other, you're sort of like trying to read like, okay, I think that person is gonna use Zera, and then they swap, and you're like, oh, well, I chose this because you were gonna do that. So maybe we all need to use those a little bit more.
I was gonna say I am fully team over communicate in Pokemon Unite.
Oh yeah, me too. It's good. Well, cool. We'll have to do, Tommy, we'll have to do a check-in when the season is over, or maybe a week into season two or something, because I think this is the type of game I'm not going to stop playing. I mean, I guess we'll see if it ends up, if things change drastically and it ends up being, weird or rough or anything. I guess it's possible, but I think it's so much fun and it's so easy to just pop in and play, that we'll have to do a check-in or something as new stuff drops.
Yeah, for sure. The only way I'm probably going to stop playing is if I just have to force myself to take a break.
Yeah, which I think is possible. I think all of us are feeling like that could be in our future at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Well, thank you for hopping on and talking Pokemon Unite with me. We'll have to, like I said, reconnect for this, but also for something else in the future, do a full episode together.
Absolutely. I would love to. Thanks, Doug.
Yeah. If people want to find you, where can they do that?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. I am at awkward, comma, and that's pretty much the only social media I use.
Cool. Sounds good. Check it out. Can I just have a podcast studio, please?
Oh my gosh.
Released 4 episodes last week and recorded 3. Can I just have a studio? All right.